you should be thinking about, okay, so who are the customers for these products? Like, who uses hardness testers? This is going to be the case for all of the products I tell you. Think about that. You can even go to an AI tool like ChatGPT or Grok or whatever you're using. It doesn't really matter which one for this sort of question.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, welcome back to the Dropship Podcast. John here with you today. In this episode, I'm going to be sharing with you four product types that are perfect for high-ticket dropshipping that almost nobody is thinking about, but there is a huge opportunity to sell. So I'm going to take you through four product types that have been on my personal product list, if you like, that I keep a list myself of niches and products that I would go into or think about going into if I was starting a new business. And I'm going to share four of those with you today. And if you're somebody who's looking to go and start a high-ticket dropshipping business, get yourself some time freedom, make yourself some more money, maybe start a side hustle business. These product types could be perfect for you. These four product categories are largely fall in the B2B space, so business-to-business products. And I think business-to-business in 2025 and beyond is one of the most untapped, areas of the e-commerce landscape that you could possibly dropship in. Now, here at the Dropship Podcast, we've got over 20 years of dropshipping experience continuous. We're still doing it today. We've seen literally thousands of niche ideas. We've seen what works. We've seen what doesn't. And what is working really well today is B2B niches. And so I'm going to share four products from B2B niches. And what I'm sharing with you today, I mean, if you're somebody who's heard about dropshipping, you're checking out this video because you're interested in dropshipping, you've probably heard of dropshipping low-ticket products. Most people are familiar with what's called Shopify dropshipping or AliExpress dropshipping or something like that. That's not what we do here, and that's not what we recommend people do. That type of dropshipping rarely works, and it doesn't really build a sustainable business. The approach that we take is something we call high-ticket dropshipping, and that's where you're focused on selling products that are generally have a retail value of over $1,000. So they're not cheap. They're warehoused in the country that you're in. So the suppliers, the brands that you're selling have the products in the country that you're in, and you're selling them to people in the same country. And what does this mean? Well, it means that when the products ship to your customer, they get there really fast, sort of in the normal time frame that people expect shipping to take. And because we're selling higher ticket products, that means in dollar terms, our margins are much higher than if we were selling really cheap products. Like if we were selling a $10, $20, $30 product and we're dropshipping that, we're probably only, after all of our costs are taken out, going to be making maybe $10 profit, maybe even less, maybe single digit profit numbers per order or per product. And while that might be fine, if you're somebody who actually wants to make some money, you quickly realize you have to sell a lot of products to make any real money that you could talk about. If you want to replace your income, you got to sell a lot of products to do that. And if you want to sell a lot of products, you have to do a lot of marketing, because the downside of cheap products is nobody's looking for them. There's no demand for them. And so you have to go out there, do a ton of marketing just to persuade people that they should buy some cheap knockoff piece of junk from China. Whereas on the flip side, when you're selling high ticket products, you're selling products from known brands within the niche. So for example, some of the products that I'm going to take you through in this episode, there are brands that make these products that people that do the things with the products in the niche, they know the brands, right? They're well established. They've been around for a while. And so there's already demand for these products. And so you can take advantage of that. And what that means is that while nothing's easy in business, your marketing is easier than trying to convince somebody who doesn't want the product you're selling that they should buy the product you're selling. All we're doing here is stepping in front of existing demand. And when we sell a product that's $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 plus dollars, we're actually going to be making $500, $600, $700, $1,000 in profit in our pockets after all expenses, including the cost of the goods sold. And so this is a much more sustainable and scalable approach to dropshipping. And it's also one of the oldest ways that people have done dropshipping. People have been doing it this way for 20 plus years. Myself and Ben have been doing it for 11 years. It works. It's worked consistently and it continues to work. So that's the way that you want to get started. And if you want to find out more about how to do that, just go and listen to our back episodes here. There's nearly 400 of them. And in particular, in some of the earlier episodes, we take you through everything, how to do this, how to get started, what are your first steps. It's all here on the Dropship Podcast. So check it out. Now, let's dive into the product. So product number one that I'm going to share with you today is hardness testers. And I got to tell you, most people, you're going to have to go and Google this stuff, right? I'm going to tell you, these products, you're not going to probably have any idea what they are, what they're used for. They're going to be new for most people. So hardness testers is number one. What is a hardness tester? A hardness tester is an instrument designed to measure the resistance of materials to permanent deformation, such as indentation or scratching. So there are a bunch of industries out there and businesses that use hardness testers, and some of those would be the automotive industry, the aerospace industry. They're used in electronics manufacturing. They're used with medical devices, and basically any business that works with a surface. They're used in engineering as well. That works with the surface, and they need to know how hard it is going to use a hardness tester. And so these things are great, right? They're multiple thousands of dollars. They're small. They're fairly small things, right? And so that means from a shipping perspective, they're fairly simple to ship and less expensive to ship than a lot of other products that you could do high ticket drop shipping with, which is good for your margins here. And there are multiple quality brands that manufacture these products and sell them via resellers, which is what you are as a high ticket drop shipper. You're a reseller. So these brands work with retailers to sell their products to customers. And so this is what we're looking for. There's not too many people selling them. I've had a look at these on the US market. I've had a look at these on the Australian market as two markets. And they're definitely not too competitive at this point either, which means they're a great option to get started. And I want to give you a little tip here, a little pro tip. As I'm saying these product types, the way to think about this is not, I'm going to go and start a hardness testers website, and it's just going to sell hardness testers. When we're doing high ticket dropshipping, we're not just doing single product category websites. That's a really bad idea, right? And there's a number of reasons why it's a bad idea. The main one is that if you do that, you're just going to be leaving a lot of money on the table. What I want you to think about when I say these is, okay, that's a great product category, and I could definitely start there, right, and get an idea. But you should be thinking about, okay, so who are the customers for these products? Like, who uses hardness testers? To use this one as an example, this is going to be the case for all of the products I tell you. Think about that. You can even go to an AI tool like ChatGPT or Grok or, you know, whatever you're using. It doesn't really matter which one for this sort of question. And you can ask them, can you give me a list of all the business categories or professions that use hardness testers? It's going to spit you out a list and it's going to be pretty right. So then you look at that and go, okay, and you do a little bit more research. All right. So let's say, there is an engineering firm that uses hardness testers. Engineering is one of the businesses that use these. You would then go and look at what are the other products that type of business also uses. And you're going to find a whole bunch of other products, right? And so those are also going to be products that you're going to sell. Now you need to check, you know, are they high ticket products, you know, that $1,000 plus sort of price range. And you need to go and check, are there brands for those products? And so there's some criteria that you have to go through, which we've covered in so many episodes and videos on this channel. Go back and check out exactly what the criteria is for a product. And then you would sell all of those different product categories on the same site. So you would sell your hardness testers, but you would also sell probably 5, 6, 7 other types of products on the same store. We don't do single product category stores. And why is that? Well, you're going to be selling to businesses in these particular instances, and businesses buy a lot of different products. So if you get a customer who wants to buy a hardness tester, they might also want to buy other products at the same time. They might be in the market for other products. And so you want to be able to sell them those other products as well. Or maybe they buy a hardness tester off you, and then in 2 months' time, they need something else that's related to that, that they use in their day-to-day work, and they need to buy it from somebody. Now, they're already familiar with you, so your ability to sell them something else is much higher because they're already your customer. The easiest person to sell to with an e-commerce business or a dropshipping business is somebody who's already your customer. There's already trust there. They've already had a good experience with you, ideally. And so going to them and saying, hey, do you want to buy this now? Your chances of selling that are much higher than somebody who hasn't bought from you yet. And the profit margin when you sell to somebody who's already your customer is also higher because you're not paying to acquire that customer. You've already acquired them once. You paid for the ads the first time they bought from you. You don't pay for ads for them to buy for you again, generally, if you're doing a good job. You email marketing, that sort of thing, to get that next sale across the line. And so the overhead there is much, much lower on the second and the third sale. And this is how you grow a really big business. You need to be able to sell to the same customer more than once over time, or sell them more per order. And so if you only sell one product category, you can rarely do that, and you're hamstringing yourself from the start. Whereas if you sell multiple product categories that the same ideal customer would buy, your chances of growing a big, strong, sustainable business are much higher. And so that's why you're going to also make more money. You're going to be more profitable. And so that's why we want to have multiple product categories. Now, product type number two that I'm going to talk to you here is industrial water chillers. You've probably never heard of an industrial water chiller before. They're a thing. So what is an industrial water chiller? Well, it's basically a kind of like a big box that, the name is self-explanatory, cools water. So it cools water to a particular temperature that the business needs to have their water at. And they're used in many industrial and commercial operations where temperature control is essential, such as manufacturing, chemical processing, HVAC systems. Medical and pharmaceutical industries use these a lot. And so they're basically just a box, usually on wheels or something like that. They come in different sizes depending on how much water they need to process at a time. You kind of plug them in, hook them up to the water, turn them on, they cool the water. I mean, that's a really simple way of putting it. Once again, multiple brands make these. There's not many people selling them. They sell at a good price. They're fairly straightforward. Not too difficult to ship. They're a little bit on the larger side than the hardness testers, but still the price of the product makes the shipping fairly easy to deal with. And so once again, industrial water chillers, if you start there and that's your in to a niche, there's going to be a range of other products that the businesses that buy industrial water chillers are also going to buy. For example, if you were looking at the medical and laboratory space, which we've actually talked about on this podcast before, going back a number of episodes, there's a ton of other products in the medical laboratory space that you could sell with a high ticket dropshipping business. Product type number three, that's two, this is three, for this one is stretch wrapping machines. So we've all used the plastic wrap in the kitchen to cover up food. We call it different things in different countries. In Australia, it's cling wrap. I think in the US, people call it something else. Plastic wrap. You've seen the small stuff we use in the kitchen. Well, warehousing businesses, or all sorts of businesses that package products and need to ship products, have kind of industrial-sized versions of your kitchen roll with plastic wrap on it. They have really big rolls of plastic wrap. And because the rolls of plastic wrap are so big and they're being wrapped around big things like a pallet stacked with boxes, they have machines that just wrap around it and spin the thing and wrap around it and wrap a large thing, or in some case a smaller thing, really quickly in an automated sense. And once again, you can sell these products. So plastic stretch wrapping machines used in manufacturing companies, food and beverage industries, third-party logistics centers, retail supply chains. Once again, there's a fairly broad swathe of businesses that use these type of products, and they sell for some really good prices, right? Anywhere from a few thousand dollars up into the tens of thousands of dollars, which is fantastic. I love selling products in the tens of thousands of dollars. I got to tell you that. You might think people don't buy stuff for that much money, but I can tell you right now they do. And when you're selling at that sort of range, you're making multiple thousands of dollars in your pocket per sale usually. So stretch wrapping machines, once again, start there. That's one that can work, but there are also, and I've looked at this myself, there are also other products in the same, used by the same businesses as the stretch wrapping machines that you would have on the same website. Now, our final product category that I'm going to share with you today that is ripe for the picking right now is solar radiation sensors. Once again, you're probably going to have to Google some of these, but solar radiation sensors, once again, fairly self-explanatory, I think. They measure the intensity of solar energy reaching the Earth's surface. Solar energy being largely like, you can't tell it by looking at it kind of thing. So we have instruments that measure this for us. And you might say, well, that sounds really geeky and scientific-y, and like not many people are going to have solar radiation sensors or use these things. You would actually be wrong. And there are even different types of solar radiation sensors. And look, I know nothing about these. So, you know, I have researched this. There's pyranometers, UV radiometers, photosynthetically active radiation sensors, heliometers. These all do slightly different things, but they're all different devices. So, who uses these? Now, like I say, you might listen to that and go, oh my God, that sounds so niche. It's not funny, John. Not many people are buying those. You'd be wrong. So, obviously, scientific and research organizations use them. The solar energy industry uses them. They're used for agriculture. Surprise, surprise, particularly large farms are interested in solar radiation because, you know, it's going to have an effect on their crops. Meteorological services, so services that measure the weather and report on the weather, are using these. The building industry uses these. Public health organizations use these. Environmental monitoring organizations use these. And the list actually goes on. And particularly when we live in a world where the climate is changing, and I'm not going to dive into the politics of why it's changing or anything like that, but it's kind of undeniable that it is changing for whatever reason. Tools that measure and help us to understand the climate are in high demand. And it's not just solar radiation sensors when it comes to, I guess, measuring the weather or measuring, you know, things that are happening in the environment around us. There are a whole range of products that can do that. Another one I really like is lightning detection sensors. Once again, used by some of the same organizations to detect when there's likely to be lightning or other weather things like that around. And so, once again, you hear the idea of solar radiation sensors, you go, that sounds interesting. Once again, these are pretty small products. Again, they're expensive and they're small, so they're great for shipping. You probably hear that and think, hey, John, I'm just going to go and start solarradiationsensors.com. That's a bad idea. That's not the way to do it, but this will get you started in the right direction. So, there's four product categories that you could start a business in today, tomorrow, with high ticket drop shipping. And so, don't sleep on this. You've got some ideas now. Do a little bit more research, find some suppliers, set up a website, contact those suppliers, get their approval to sell their products, put those products on your website, and then start advertising them. That's the simple process to starting a high ticket drop shipping business. Now, if you would like to get a more in-depth training on how to start a high-ticket dropshipping business, what are the exact steps to take, and you'd love to see me walk through it on a screen, head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. The link will appear on the video for this episode, and it will appear in the description below the episode. Hit that link, go to the page, sign up. It's free, and you'll get a more in-depth training with myself on how to start one of these businesses, the exact steps you need to take to assess products, the marketing that we use to sell these products, the whole deal. I cover it on the free training. So, thanks for checking us out, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.